This site is one of the first monuments within the British Isles. You have to understand that before about 4000 BC, in the preceding Mesolithic period, where people were hunting and gathering, was the essential way that they were surviving, that there doesn't seem to, I mean, we might yet find them, but there doesn't seem to be a desire for monumental construction, like Stonehenge, or large burial tombs, or things of that nature. These monuments only start coming about around 4000 BC, with the advent of the Neolithic. This site dates to 3650 BC. It's very close to the beginning of this Neolithic period. So this is one of our first monuments. And these are some of the first residents of Brighton and Hove. It's further back in time. It would have been further back in time for the Romans than the Romans are for us, if you see what I mean. The Romans turned up roughly 2,000 years ago in Britain, and this monument would have dated 3,650 years before the Romans turned up. It's older than the main phase of Stonehenge by some sort of 600 years or more. The site is known as a caused wade enclosure, Neolithic caused wade enclosure. There was an academic project back in 2013 called Gathering Time, which was with archaeologists from the University of Wales and English Heritage, and they dated a whole series of these sites. There's about sort of 50 or 60 of them, mainly over southern Britain. Some sites were more successful than others. White Hawk was particularly successful. I think they dated about 30 artefacts using carbon-14 dating, and they could get a really narrow date range for when activity took place on the site. And that was from around 3650 BC for maybe about 100 years or so. So we might only be looking at the activity of maybe four generations of people up here. It's a large site. It covers about 6 hectares, but we don't know the true extent of it. And that's the purpose of the excavations that we're undertaking at the moment, to see if we can fully define the extent of the monument. It's very, very rich in finds. It wasn't solely as a defended site. In fact, we don't think its main purpose was as a defensive site at all. We think that it was a site for different groups to gather, to conduct ceremonies and to bury their dead and maybe do deals, you know, that kind of place. There was 3 main seasons of excavation on the site. Up to around the remains of 20 individuals were found at that time from just about a 5% excavation of the site. So if you do the maths, then there could be like a few hundred people buried up here. As well as that, there's lots of evidence of what they ate, lots of evidence of the animals that they had, the crops which they grew, the pottery that they had, the flint tools which they'd produced, and also quite enigmatic items which you could consider to be art or something along those lines, but basically items which don't seem to have any particular practical use, if you see what I mean. The community dig involves professional archaeologists from University College London, experienced volunteer archaeologists from Brighton and Hove Archaeological Society, and members of the public who have never dug before. We undertook geophysical survey over the whole monument and the area around that. From that geophysical survey, we've identified anomalies, we call them. They might not be archaeological features. You have to excavate to test to see whether they are. And the purpose of the excavations at the moment is to test all of these anomalies to see whether or not the site actually extends further out than we know it to. There was some indications from the 1920s and 30s excavations that they could see features outside of the main area. And we're just testing to see the limits of that. Because at the moment, the main site is protected as a scheduled ancient monument by English Heritage, but that doesn't extend wider than the known 4 circuits. So if we start finding other Neolithic finds from outside of that area, then there's an argument that a larger area on top of the hill could be designated and protected. The open day has, we've got a large array of other people who are going to come and put on activities and explain things to members of the public. And that range from sort of art and exploring how we can get in touch with what it must have meant for these people living on this site, to understanding the natural heritage of the site, the current flora and fauna. There'll be practical demonstrations, there'll be activities for children to do as well, there'll be guided tours of the hill, you can come and see the excavations which are running, and there's a lot of other things. If you look at our Facebook page, which is the White Hawk Community Excavation page, or at Dig White Hawk, which is on Twitter, then you'll see a whole list of the activities that are taking place on the day. The partners are the Centre for Applied Archaeology, University College London, Brighton and Hove City Council, which is Brighton Art Gallery and Museum, and the Brighton and Hove Rangers, part of City Parks, and also Brighton and Hove Archaeological Society, who were the first group to excavate the site back in the 1920s. I'd also like to say thank you to the Heritage Lottery Fund for funding the project.